Even though she had been fasting and had not washed since he had kidnapped her, she was still far more lovely than any of his consorts. Indeed, if it were not for Nalakuvera's curse. The demon folded his hands in supplication. What will you gain by lying here grieving? Your youth is passing swiftly and will be gone. Enjoy with me now while you can. There are none in the universe who can compare with me in virility and power. You are the finest of all women. I believe that after creating you, the celebrated Brahma must have retired, seeing his work to have reached perfection. Ravana offered her the position of his principal queen. He would subjugate the entire world and offer it to her father, Janak. He had already conquered the gods in heaven and now stood unchallenged as the most powerful person in the universe. What could Ram do against him? Sita should stop thinking of her puny prince, who was clad in rags and lived in a lonely forest. Perhaps, Ravana suggested, Ram had already died. There was no chance that she would ever see him again. And even if he should somehow find his way to Lanka, he would be immediately destroyed by Ravana, standing at the head of an unlimited number of invincible Rakshasas. The demon went on, his voice rising and falling melodiously as he implored Sita, "Become my wife, O most beautiful one, and enjoy life. Put on the best of garments and gold ornaments. Shake off your grief and range freely with me in delightful groves along the seashore." Sita shuddered at Ravana's sinful suggestion. Without looking at him and placing a symbolic blade of grass between herself and the demon, she replied, "Give up your futile hope. You no more deserve me than a sinful man deserves perfection. How do you expect me to perform an act condemned by all pious women? How do you imagine that I will rest upon the arm of another man after I have once rested upon Ram's arm? Do you not realize that molesting the wives of others leads only to destruction? Evidently, there is no one in Lanka who knows morality, or perhaps you have become so degraded that you are simply unable to heed good advice." Ravana snorted in anger. He clenched and unclenched his fists. There seemed to be no way of winning this woman. His eyes remained fixed upon her as she continued without looking at him. "You should know me to be as inseparable from Ram as sunlight is inseparable from the sun. Unite me with Ram at once if you wish to do good for yourself and your Rakshasa race. Make friends with Ram. Otherwise, see your city, yourself, and all the demons destroyed for good. If I am kept here, you will soon see well-aimed arrows joined end to end filling the sky. They will rain down upon Lanka like so many fire-mouthed serpents. You were able to steal me only when Ram and his brother were not present. Indeed, O weak one, it is not possible for you to stand in the sight of Ram and Lakshman any more than a dog can remain under the gaze of a pair of lions." Sita rebuked Ravana further. "Even if he sought shelter on the peak of Mount Meru or descended to Varuna's abode, he would not escape from Ram. By his wicked act of stealing Sita, he was already killed by his own destiny. Ram would be the instrument to fulfill that fate. With the evil Ravana remaining their leader, the Rakshasa race would be destroyed to their roots." Sita spoke harshly. "I would burn you to ashes myself by the power of my asceticism and chastity, but I do not have my Lord's order, nor do I wish to waste my ascetic merits on such a wretch as yourself." Ravana was furious. Breathing heavily, he spoke slowly, his deep voice barely constraining his rage. "Because of your insolent words, you deserve to be put to death. Only my love for you prevents me from having you immediately killed. You have a few more months left of your one-year reprieve. If by then you have not submitted to me, then my cooks will mince you up for my morning meal." The demon then turned away from Sita. His eyes flamed and his tongue darted out of his mouth. His shining diadem and his broad, powerful shoulders shook with his anger. His red robe swirled about him as he walked away, and his large reddish-gold earrings swung back and forth. With his dark blue waist cloth, he appeared like a mountain topped with crimson oxides and lit by lightning bolts. As he left the grove, he turned to the Rakshasis. "Use whatever means you can to change this princess's mind. By soft words, coercion, and threats, force her to submit. Dissuade her from thoughts of Ram and convince her to accept me. This will be your own in your own interests, O Rakshasis. With a roar of frustration, Ravana left the garden, his heavy footfalls receding into the distance. As Hanuman continued to watch, the fierce Rakshasis began to harass Sita, asking in rasping and grating voices why she was reluctant to accept Ravana as her lord. The Rakshasa king was the son of a great rishi. He had vanquished 33 principal gods in battle. Even Indra could not stand before him. Now that Ravana was bowing at her feet, begging for her favor, he was prepared to renounce his principal consort, the chaste and beautiful Mandodari, for Sita's sake. Numerous Rakshasis cajoled Sita in various ways. They told her to stop pining foolishly for Ram, a mere human. Of what consequence was Ram when compared to Ravana? She obviously had no idea what was best for her. Sita turned away from the Rakshasis. Their advice was useless. She could no more abandon Ram than heat could abandon fire. She spoke with tear-filled eyes, "Devour me if you will. I shall never become Ravana's wife. As Sachi waits upon Indra, as Arundhati upon Vashishta, and Rohini upon the moon god, so do I always wait upon my lord." The Rakshasis were filled with rage when Sita rejected their counsel. They resorted to harsh and threatening language. Licking their protruding lips with their dart-like tongues, they raised their axes and other weapons at Sita. Sita stood up and walked toward the tree where Hanuman was hiding, with a group of Rakshasis surrounding and intimidating her. Seeing her approach, the monkey quickly climbed up into the branches of the tree. As he looked down from the tree, he saw Sita severely afflicted by her Rakshasi guards. They spoke fiercely, "Submit to Ravana, O princess. Over this very day, I shall tear out your heart and eat it." Brandishing a huge dart, one Rakshasi said, "For a long time, I have wanted to feast on your liver and spleen, as well as your swollen breasts and indeed all of your limbs." Hanuman burned with anger. He felt the impulse to leap down amid the Rakshasis and immediately thrash them, but he restrained himself, intelligently waiting for an opportunity to first speak with Sita. If he revealed himself now, there would be chaos, and the chance to reassure Sita would be lost. Continuously tormented, Sita fell to the ground weeping. She cried out to the Rakshasis, "A human woman is not fit to be the wife of a Rakshasa king. Therefore, finish me now, Rakshasis, end my misery." Sita embraced the tree, calling out Ram's name. Her face was pale and she shook with sobs. As she tossed her head about, her long braid of hair writhed like a black snake. She wondered what kind of sin she must have committed in her past life that she must now endure this suffering. If it were not for her longing to again see Ram, she would have ended her own life. How could she endure another visit from Ravana? Sita turned to the Rakshasis, who were still threatening her as she lay clutching the tree. "O wicked ones, I would not touch Ravana even with my left foot. That evil one should understand it now. I would not go to him even under threat of being transfixed, hacked to pieces, roasted in fire, or hurled down from mountain peaks." The princess thought continuously of Ram. Why had he not come to rescue her? Surely he had not abandoned her. Perhaps he did not know where she was. But Jatayu must have told him, or maybe the bird died before getting the chance. If Ram knew her to be in Lanka, then without doubt he would have reduced the city to ashes by now. The ocean would present no problem. Ram's fiery arrows would dry it up in an instant. But what if Ram had perished from grief, being unable to find her? Lakshman would also die, seeing his brother gone. Maybe after losing her, Ram had practiced yoga and become detached from worldly things such as love for his wife. But that could not be possible in one like Ram. He would never become detached from his duty. Protecting one's wife was always the duty of pious men. Sita lamented, thinking only of her husband. She envied the perfect mystics who had transcended the dualities of happiness and distress. For them, the loss of relatives did not cause any sorrow, nor did they long for any pleasing thing. If only she could experience their peace. As she lay absorbed in such thoughts, a Rakshasi named Trijata stepped forward and restrained her companions. She had just risen from sleep and told them of a dream she had experienced. I saw a shining personality who was surely Ram, mounted upon a celestial chariot drawn by 1,000 horses and coursing through the air. He was united with Sita. The couple wore white robes and white garlands and were ablaze with splendor. I also saw Ravana robed in black with a red garland and sitting on a chariot drawn by asses. Trijata described her dream in detail. Ravana had entered a fearful darkness, his body smeared with excrement. She saw all Ravana's sons and ministers with their heads shaved and bodies bathed with oil. She saw Lanka being set alight by an agile monkey and all the Rakshasas disappearing into a pool of cow dung. The Rakshasis knew the science of interpreting dreams. It seemed from Tritata's dream that a great calamity was about to befall Ravana. Sita was heartened by Trijata. She sat up, and as she did so, she felt her left eye throbbing and her left arm palpitating. This was an auspicious omen. That omen, along with Trijata's dream, gave Sita hope. She felt that Ram must surely be near. The Rakshasis fell away from her, some of them running to report to Ravana. Chapter 14. Sita is found. In the tree, Hanuman considered what to do next. He wanted to comfort Sita and give her Ram's ring, but he was not sure how to approach her. She would likely think him to be Ravana in disguise, using sorcery to trick her. She might cry out and alert the Rakshasas. What then? He could be killed or captured. How would Ram's purpose be served if that happened? What other monkey could leap across the ocean and return? Hanuman thought carefully. He decided to remain in the tree and sing praises of Ram so that Sita could hear. The Rakshasis had moved away to a distance and would not notice. Hanuman started to speak out loud. In the city of Ayodhya, there lived a great ruler named Dasarath. That lordly king begot a valiant son named Ram, who possesses every good quality, going to the forest in obedience to his aged and pious father. Prince Ram slayed in battle many violent demons. Hanuman related in brief Ram's history up until the time of Sita's abduction. He described what had happened to Ram in her absence since then, leading up to his own leap across the ocean and arrival in the Ashok Grove. Sita was struck with wonder to hear the voice from the tree. She looked up and all around her, feeling joy upon hearing Ram's activities described. As she gazed into the boughs of the trees, she saw among the leaves Hanuman's tawny figure. The small monkey sat humbly with his palms folded. Immediately she became afraid. Who was this creature? What was he doing in the tree? Was this Ravana's trick? But remembering the auspicious omens, Sita became thoughtful. She prayed to the gods that Hanuman's words might prove true. Hanuman slipped down from the tree and bowed low before Sita with his joined palms raised above his head. I assume you are Sita, consort of the highly blessed Ram. I am an envoy dispatched by Ram to seek you, O noble lady. Along with his brother Lakshmana, Ram waits in grief for some news about your whereabouts. Sita felt overjoyed to hear of Ram, but she was still suspicious. What if this was Ravana? Nevertheless, upon seeing the monkey, she was feeling a strange calm and peace of mind. She looked carefully at Hanuman and asked, "How can I know that you are not Ravana?" Hanuman reassured her. He described the features of both Ram and Lakshmana in great detail, telling her everything he knew about the two princes. Hanuman then told her about himself and how he had come to meet with Ram. He spoke confidently. Now that I have found you, I will soon return to Ram. You will see your lord arrive here before long, marching at the head of an unlimited number of powerful monkeys and bears. Hanuman showed her ring to Ram. Hanuman showed her the ring Ram had given him. He handed it to Sita, and she immediately recognized it. She was now convinced by Hanuman. Standing up in excitement, she felt unlimited joy. Her eyes shed tears of happiness, and her face shone brightly. She praised Hanuman. You have achieved a great feat in crossing the wide ocean and entering this fortified city. O noble monkey, surely you are the foremost of Ram's servants. Sita wondered why Ram himself had not come there. Why had he not smashed the city of Lanka and taken her back? Was he still strong in mind and body? Was Lakshmana well? Sita questioned Hanuman eagerly, and the monkey replied, Ram does not know your exact whereabouts, O godly lady, but he is well and awaiting news of you. As soon as he hears my report, he will come here with his army and rid the world of Rakshasas. There can be no doubt whatsoever. Hanuman assured Sita that Ram was always thinking about her. Indeed, his mind was distracted by grief due to her separation. He could not eat properly and hardly slept. Ram sat for long periods, gazing into the distance, sighing heavily. He would not even brush from his body gnats and mosquitoes, oblivious to everything as he thought of Sita. From time to time, he would call out her name and shed tears. Sita felt simultaneous joy and grief as she heard of her husband and his own grief for her. He sat lost in thought of Ram for some time, looking like the bright moon seen through a veil of clouds. The monkey's words were like nectar mixed with poison. She could not tolerate hearing of Ram's sorrow. Her beautiful eyelids, with their long black lashes, fluttered as she blinked away her tears. She spoke to Hanuman, who sat with his palms folded and his head bowed. "O valiant monkey, you must quickly bring Ram. Only a short time remains till the merciless Ravana will have me killed. The demon will not heed any good advice and is bent on bringing about his own destruction, held as he is in the grip of death." Sita told Hanuman that she had heard how Ravana's brother and minister, Bibhishan, had repeatedly exhorted the demon king to return Sita. He and other wise Rakshasas warned Ravana that keeping Sita would result in the annihilation of the Rakshasas. But Ravana would not listen. Sita had heard this from Bibhishana's wife, who had befriended the princess. When he heard that Sita's life was threatened, Hanuman became alarmed. He spoke urgently, "Let me take you from this place immediately, O princess of Mithila. You may climb upon my back, and I shall leap across the sea with ease. Do not be fearful. I could easily carry the whole of Lanka, Ravana and all. Therefore, mount upon my back, and I shall transport you to Ram's presence this very day." Sita looked at Hanuman, who still appeared as a normal monkey, less than half her size. She spoke in surprise, "Your proposal is surely quite monkey-like, O gallant one. How shall I ever get on your back?" Hanuman was piqued. This was the first time his strength and power had ever been questioned. Obviously, Sita was not aware of his abilities. He needed to give her a demonstration. Hanuman began to expand his body, growing up to a huge size. He looked down at Sita and said, "I have the capacity to lift this entire island with its hills, woodlands, lakes, cities, defensive walls, and the very lord of Lanka, Ravana himself. Be done with your hesitation, O princess, and allow me to carry you to Ram." Sita gazed up in amazement at Hanuman, who stood before her like a tawny mountain. She was reassured of his ability, but she was still doubtful about traveling on his back. She said, "You are like the wind god himself, dear monkey. When you fly with great speed, it will be difficult for me to hold fast to you. The force of your flight will likely render me unconscious. I will then fall into the sea, only to be devoured by fierce aquatics." Sita also feared that Hanuman would not be able to leave Lanka with her. The Rakshasas would spot them and give chase. They were capable of fighting in the air with powerful weapons, and Hanuman would be hard-pressed to retaliate as he flew with Sita on his back. Sita explained that there were still other reasons why she could not take Hanuman's offer. "I vowed never to touch the body of any man other than Ram. I am already mortified due to being grasped by the sinful Ravana. I could not voluntarily touch another man, nor could I allow anyone other than Ram to rescue me, thereby diminishing Ram's fame. I therefore prefer to wait for my lord, confident that he will soon arrive." Hanuman nodded in assent to Sita's words. She was right. It would not be possible for her to cling to him while he flew swiftly back, and he respected her chastity, which was without comparison in the world. Resuming his normal size, he said, "I shall now go back to Ram. Please give me some token so that he will know that I have actually met with you." Sita replied to him in a choked voice, choked with tears, "You may give him this token in the form of a message. Remind him of the time when we lived together on the Chitrakoot mountain and how I was once attacked by a crow and Ram gave me protection." Sita told Hanuman in detail about the incident. The crow in question was Indra's son, and he had wanted to witness Ram's prowess. He had attacked Sita, whereupon Ram had thrown a blade of grass at him, imbuing it with the power of the Brahmastra. The empowered grass had chased the crow across the universe and finally destroyed one of his eyes. Ram would remember that incident and know that only Sita could have recalled it. Hanuman asked if Sita had any message for Ram. The princess replied, "You should report to Ram my wretched condition. Although I have the invincible Ram as my protector, I now appear like one forlorn. He should lose no time in rescuing me. He is capable of advancing against the entire host of gods and demons united together, what to speak of Ravan." Sita took from her cloth a brilliant celestial gem, which she had used to decorate her hair. Handing the yellow jewel to Hanuman, she said, "Give this gem to Ram and say to him, even as Vishnu rescued the goddess Earth from the depths of the ocean, you should descend into the midst of the Rakshasas and save me. O monkey, deliver this message to my lord." Hanuman took the jewel and bowed low to Sita. It was time to leave, but he wanted first to test the Rakshasa's strength. Now that he had actually penetrated into Lanka, he saw his opportunity. If he could incite the Rakshasas to fight with him, it would give him some idea of their force and power. And besides that, Hanuman wanted to do some damage to the demon forces before he left. Thinking in this way, Hanuman, still in a vast form, began ripping up the trees and bushes in the gardens. He tore down the walls and archways and hurled them into the ponds. Moving like a tempest and roaring all the while, the Varuna created havoc in the grove. He took up a huge iron bar and stood at the entrance to the garden, eagerly awaiting the arrival of Rakshasa troops. The inhabitants of Ravana's palace were terrified to hear Hanuman's roar, along with the crash of trees and the cries of frightened animals. The Rakshasis, who had been buried in sleep, woke with a start. They saw Hanuman standing at the gate of the garden like a towering hill. Some of them had already noticed that Sita was speaking to a monkey, and they questioned her about his identity. "How should I know anything about this wonderful being?" she replied. "You are the one skilled in sorcery and magic. Why, then, can you not ascertain for yourselves the nature of this creature?" Some of the Rakshasis ran in fear to Ravana. They reported to him that the monkey had entirely destroyed the beautiful gardens, leaving only the large Shimshap tree under which Sita lay. Ravana flared up. His eyes blazed, and hot tears fell from them like drops of burning oil from a lamp. He thought for a moment. This attacker was probably a powerful emissary from the gods, or even Vishnu. No one else would dare assail Lanka. Ravana ordered a select band of Rakshasa warriors, the Kinkaras, to capture Hanuman. 80,000 of them immediately gathered and left for the garden. The massive Rakshasas were endowed with extraordinary might and large teeth and held fierce weapons. They rushed in a body toward the Ashok Grove, keen to lay hold of Hanuman. Seeing the colossal monkey, they darted at him like moths toward a flame. They attacked Hanuman with their sharp edged spears, maces, clubs, iron pikes, and scimitars, surrounding him and shouting loudly. Waves of arrows sped toward Hanuman, rushing through the air and sounding like a roaring gale. Hanuman assumed an even larger form. He lashed the ground with his tail and uttered a great cry, "Victory to Ram and Lakshman! I am Hanuman, the son of the wind god, and I am here as Ram's servant. Not even 1,000 Ravanas can withstand me. I shall destroy Lanka and then return to my master." The Kinkaras were struck with fear upon hearing and seeing Hanuman's size and hearing his booming voice, which shook the earth. They closed in on him in thousands. Hanuman whirled the iron bar and began striking the demons down. Bounding into the air and tearing through the Rakshasa ranks, Hanuman swiftly annihilated them. He moved like the wind and could hardly be seen by the Rakshasas. In a short time, they were virtually wiped out. A few of them survived and ran back to Ravana. The demon king became even more furious. He ordered one of his great generals, Jambumali, to attack Hanuman. The Rakshasa bowed down to Ravana and went out for battle, clutching his golden bow. Jambumali mounted a chariot drawn by 100 tall steeds with the heads of fiends. He twanged his bowstring, making a sound like thunder, and roaring with anger, raced toward the palace gardens. Meanwhile, Hanuman had been looking around to see what further destruction he could cause. He saw an enormous temple atop a great hill where the Rakshasas worshipped their guardian deity. He quickly climbed the hill and scaled the side of the temple, which appeared like the sheer face of a mountain. As he went up the wall of the temple, the effulgent Hanuman resembled the rising sun. Repeatedly crying out, "Victory to Ram!" he began tearing down the buttresses and large stone arches all around the temple. In minutes, he reduced the entire edifice to a pile of rubble. Hanuman leapt down from the hill and spotted Jambumali coming toward him. The demon was dressed in crimson robes with a garland of bright red flowers around his neck and a chaplet of red jewels on his head. Large gold earrings shone brilliantly from his blackish-blue pointed ears. He roared loudly and fired 100 long shafts from his bow. Hanuman also roared when he saw the demon. He stood joyfully in front of the bellowing Rakshasa. Jambumali pierced the monkey all over with his terrible arrows. With one large crescent-headed shaft, he struck Hanuman in the mouth. While a number of barbed arrows, he hit him in his arms and legs. His head stained with blood, Hanuman looked like a large red lotus in the sky. He was infuriated, and he took up an immense boulder, hurling it with tremendous force at Jambumali. The demon laughed and instantly released 10 powerful arrows which smashed the flying rock into fragments. Enraged, Hanuman then uprooted a sal tree and whirled it about. Jambumali again shot his razor-sharp arrows and cut the tree to pieces. He continued to pierce Hanuman with more and more arrows. The monkey lost his patience and again took up the great iron rod with which he had slain the Kinkaras. With innumerable arrows sticking from his body, he rushed toward the demon. He bounded into the air and came down onto Jambumali's chariot, bringing the rod down into his skull. Smashed by Hanuman, the demon's head was pressed into his body, which itself was crushed into a shapeless mass. The chariot was shattered, and the demoniac donkeys ran here and there, bellowing in fear. Ravana was astounded to hear that Jambumali had been slain. He ordered, again, 7 more of his generals to go out for battle. The Rakshasa warriors went out to meet Hanuman, shouting in joy, each of them eager to excel the others in battle. They mounted large chariots overlaid with golden armor and decked with banners and flags. Rumbling like thunderclouds, the chariots rushed toward Hanuman. The demons were expert in the use of celestial weapons, and they began to release all kinds of missiles at the great monkey. Hanuman leapt into the sky and wheeled about with his arms and legs outstretched. He dodged the arrows and missiles of the Rakshasas, who themselves rose into the sky to fight him. As he sported with the Rakshasas, who each held a golden bow, Hanuman looked like the powerful wind god, playing among the thunderclouds with streaks of lightning. He swept down upon the demons one by one, striking them with his hands and feet. Hanuman killed all of them, and they fell to the ground like mountains struck down by Indra's thunderbolt. Hanuman then descended to earth and stood again at the gateway to the gardens, eager to fight with more demons. The ground was strewn with the bodies of Rakshasas and smashed chariots. Elephants and horses cried in dissonant tones, and blood flowed everywhere. In order to strike terror into the Rakshasas and create dissension among their ranks, Hanuman shouted, "Send out your best fighters, Ravana! They will meet with the same fate as these here. I am Hanuman, servant of Ram. Soon millions of monkeys like myself will arrive here, accompanied by Ram himself. What use is your fighting? Release Sita now and restore her to Ram." Ravana decided that Hanuman could not possibly be a monkey. Surely he was a divine being created by the gods. The demon had seen some mighty Varanas, but this one seemed extraordinarily powerful. Still, surely he could be vanquished. Ravana and his warriors had overcome the gods themselves. It should not be too difficult to overpower this monkey, whoever he may be. Ravana summoned 5 more exceptionally powerful leaders of his army. Encouraging them by praising their strength and skill in battle, he sent them out to capture Hanuman. He had to find out who this monkey was and why he had come to Lanka. But one after another, Hanuman slew the Rakshasa generals. He struck down the first 3 with his thunderbolt-like fists. The other 2 then assailed Hanuman from his 2 sides, hurling their fierce weapons with great force. Hanuman, who looked like a mountain, tore off the top of a nearby hill, complete with its beasts, snakes, and trees. Soaring upwards with that great crag, he brought it down upon two demons and completely crushed them. Hanuman then began slaying thousands of other Rakshasas who were gathered there. He killed warriors by striking them with other warriors, elephants with other elephants, and horses with horses. The ground was covered with corpses. Hanuman appeared like the time spirit bent upon the destruction of all created beings. Ravana considered the situation. This being was formidable. He had wiped out a number of near-invincible Rakshasa chiefs. Nevertheless, how could anyone ever defeat Ravana? That was impossible. Admittedly, the goddess Lanka had previously come screaming to him, speaking of his imminent destruction, but Ravana was still confident. If necessary, he himself would deal with the monkey. But first, let him contend with Ravana's powerful sons. That should take care of him. Ravana turned to Prince Aksha, who sat by his side. Spurred on by his father's glance, Aksha rose from his seat and went out for battle. He mounted his golden chariot, which shone like the sun. It was yoked to 8 celestial steeds, all as swift as thought. A large red standard, studded with bright gems, flew from a bejeweled pole. Rows of fierce lances and javelins were arranged alongside numerous quivers of razor-headed arrows. 8 long and terrible-looking swords were fastened to the sides of the chariot in silver scabbards, emblazoned with golden moons and stars. Urging on his steeds, Aksha rose above the ground and swept toward the gardens, accompanied by thousands of other demons on elephants, horses, and chariots. The Rakshasa prince arrived before Hanuman in a few moments. He paused for a minute to assess his opponent's strength. Aksha was awestruck to see the mountainous monkey standing ready for combat. Hanuman looked to him like a blazing fire of universal dissolution. But the prince was accomplished in battle, and he felt no fear. He gazed at Hanuman with his large red eyes, which resembled those of a lion. Aksha drew his great bow to its full length and sent 3 powerful arrows toward the monkey. The arrows struck Hanuman's head, and he bled profusely, giving him the appearance of the newly risen sun. Hanuman, his eyes bulging in indignation, looked down at the Rakshasa. Aksha wore a breastplate which seemed to be made entirely from gems. It shone so brilliantly. His golden armlets flashed while he worked his beautiful ornate bow. As he assailed Hanuman, Aksha seemed like a dark cloud covered by a rainbow, pouring a shower of flaming arrows onto a large mountain. Seeing an opportunity to again display his prowess for Ram's cause, Hanuman roared in joy and sprang into the air. He darted about, evading Aksha's arrows with the speed of the wind. Aksha's chariot followed him through the air like an elephant approaching a large covered well. The prince continuously fired his deadly weapons at Hanuman, who wheeled about like a firebrand. Witnessing the fearful encounter between the Varuna and the Rakshasa, the gods were amazed. The sun grew dim, the wind ceased blowing, and the sky echoed with large shrieks. Even the sea convulsed, and the Trikut mountain shook. Hanuman considered that the prince was a worthy opponent, although only a boy. The Rakshasa was growing in strength as he fought. He stuck to Hanuman wherever the monkey flew and pierced him with thousands of razor-sharp arrows. Hanuman became more and more infuriated as he made up his mind to kill Aksha. Suddenly turning as he was pursued by the prince, Hanuman struck with the 8 steeds with the palms with his palms and killed them outright. As his chariot descended to the earth, Aksha rose up into the air, holding his bow and sword. He resembled an effulgent rishi who had quit his body through yoga and was ascending to the realm of the gods. As the prince flew through the sky, Hanuman met him and took hold of his 2 legs. Spinning him around violently, the monkey swiftly descended from the air and dashed him to the ground. With his bones smashed and body bathed in blood, Aksha fell dead. Hosts of rishis, yakshas, and nagas who ranged the stellar sphere, had gathered in a body in the canopy of the sky to watch the conflict. Observing Hanuman's stupendous feat in killing Aksha, they applauded and rained down celestial flowers. Ravana was filled with grief and rage. He turned to his eldest son, Indrajit. This prince had earned his name, the conqueror of Indra, by once taking captive the mighty king of the gods. He had command of all the mystic missiles, including even the infallible Brahmastra, presided over by Brahma himself. Ravana extolled his son at length. He ordered him to go out and take Hanuman captive. The Rakshasa king felt so confident that Indrajit would succeed, and he watched with affection. As the obedient prince marched out for combat. Indrajit rushed out like the sea on a full moon day. He mounted a chariot drawn by four saber-toothed tigers of immense size. With an arrow fitted to his bow, he swiftly arrived before Hanuman. Upon seeing the banner Indrajit had seized from Indra, Hanuman roared loudly in joy, realizing that he faced the famous conqueror of Indra. The crash of the wooden tom-toms and war drums which accompanied Indrajit increased Hanuman's martial ardor. He grew even further in size and again leapt into the sky. Indrajit fired his long shafted arrows, which were covered in gold and had beautifully feathered ends. They screamed through the air with their steel points glowing bright red. Hanuman moved rapidly in all directions and skillfully avoided them. The Rakshasa released more and more deadly shafts, and they traveled in long lines like streaks of lightning. But the Rakshasa could not hit the swiftly moving monkey. Nor could Hanuman find any opportunity to take hold of Indrajit. The gods and rishis were struck with wonder as they watched the two accomplished warriors wheeling about in the sky. The Rakshasa realized that Hanuman was formidable. But if he was a created being, then he would surely succumb to the might of the creator's weapon, the Brahmastra. Indrajit fitted to his bow the special arrow he reserved for the Brahmastra. He chanted the mantras sacred to Brahma and released the missile. Hanuman, instantly bound by the divine force of the irresistible weapon, fell to the earth with his limbs stunned. He understood that the Brahmastra had overpowered him and considered the situation. Hanuman had been given a boon by Brahma that the Brahmastra would only be effective upon him for a short while. He knew he would soon be released, but this was an opportunity for him to be taken before Ravana himself. That would be useful. He could deliver a stern ultimatum to the Rakshasa on Ram's behalf and then make his escape. Having reduced his body to its normal size, Hanuman was surrounded by a large number of fierce Rakshasas who quickly bound him with large ropes. Hitting and kicking Hanuman, they began dragging him toward Ravana's palace on Indrajit's order. Hanuman feigned fear, and even as the effect of the Brahmastra wore off, allowed himself to be taken to Ravana. Within his mind, the monkey thought only of Ram and how he could best serve him now. The demons dragged Hanuman into Ravana's great assembly hall and threw him before the Rakshasa king. Ravana's fierce-looking minister reviled Hanuman. Some said, "Let him be thrashed, roasted alive, and devoured." But Ravana was inquisitive. Who was this being? Why had he caused so much havoc in Lanka? The demon turned to his chief minister and ordered him to interrogate Hanuman. The monkey immediately said, "I am a messenger arrived from Sugriva, king of the Varnas. Both he and I are the servants of Ram, the lord of this world." Hanuman looked up at Ravana. He was awestruck by the demon's opulence. Ravana sat upon a vast crystal throne studded with gems and raised on a platform of gold. On his head he wore a brilliant diadem set with priceless jewels and encircled by strings of pearls. His limbs were decorated with numerous gold ornaments inlaid with diamonds. He wore valuable silk robes and was adorned with crimson sandal paste painted with peculiar designs. His ruddy eyes were at once terrible and yet as attractive as large lotus petals. With his 20 powerful arms, he looked like a mountain infested by 5 hooded serpents. On both sides, he was being fanned by elegantly adorned young women. Next to him sat his 4 principal advisors, who leaned across to him, offering advice and reassurance. Hanuman gazed intently upon Ravana, admiring his power and opulence. Surely the demon could have been the leader of the gods and the protector of the universe were he not given to violent and sinful acts. If this demon were enraged, he could doubtlessly turn the entire world into one large ocean. Prahasta, Ravana's chief minister, was doubtful about Hanuman's identity, and he questioned him. Take heart, O monkey. We will soon release you, but first tell us who you really are. Are you an envoy of Vishnu, thirsty as he is for conquest over the demons? Perhaps you are sent by Indra or one of the other gods. Speak the truth. We do not hold you to be a monkey, for your power is very great indeed. Hanuman responded that he was indeed a monkey. He again declared himself to be Sugriva's messenger. We are Ram's servants. He cannot be conquered by any king in all the worlds. Take heed of the advice I shall now offer you for your own good, O Ravana. Hanuman told Ravana the history of Ram and his exile to the forest, leading right up to the assembling of the Varuna hordes at Kishkinda. All these monkeys, Hanuman warned, were as swift and powerful as Hanuman himself. No one could resist them in battle. Seeking to create fear and dissension among the Rakshasas, Hanuman spoke boldly. You should immediately release Sita before it's too late. Otherwise, you will soon see an ocean of monkeys and bears descend upon Lanka. Ram and Lakshman will stand at their heads, loosing arrows which are as powerful as Indra's thunderbolt. Not even all the gods united together could keep the princes of Mithila from Ram. If you value your life, restore her to Ram today. Hanuman then described Ram's prowess. Ram could dissolve the universe with his arrows and immediately create it anew. Not even Brahma or Shiva could not stand before Ram in battle. Lanka and its Rakshasas would not present even the smallest obstacle to him. Ravana had placed the noose of death around his neck when he stole Sita. His only hope now was to go before Ram and beg for forgiveness and mercy. Ravana was overcome with wrath. Opening his eyes wide, he exclaimed, "Kill this insolent monkey!" Hearing this command, Ravana's brother and counselor, Bibhishana, immediately objected. "It is never acceptable to kill a messenger. No virtuous ruler would even consider such an action. If necessary, the monkey can be punished in some other way." Ravana angrily replied that Hanuman had acted sinfully. He had destroyed the Ashok Grove and killed many Rakshasas. But Hanuman replied that he had acted only in self-defense. He was only a monkey. His monkey nature had made him playfully tear down the gardens, and he had then been attacked by many fierce warriors. What could he do but fight back? When Hanuman stopped speaking, Bibhishana continued to argue against his execution. Ravana's eyes blazed with fury. He always found his brother's advice hard to accept, but Bibhishan was wise. That much Ravana could accept. The demon king decided to inflict another punishment upon Hanuman. "Monkeys are fond of their tails," Ravana said with a smile. "Set his tail alight, then parade him around the streets of Lanka. After that, if he survives, he can return home in a wretched and mutilated state." The Rakshasas quickly carried out Ravana's command. They tied oil-soaked cloths around Hanuman's tail and set them alight. Hanuman furiously expanded his body and began lashing the demons around him. Cursing, they dragged him from the hall and out into the streets of Lanka. His tail ablaze, the giant monkey marched behind his captors, carefully surveying the city. After all, this was an opportunity for further reconnaissance, so he could advise Ram how the city could be best attacked. Some of the Rakshasas reported to Sita that Hanuman was being paraded through the city with his tail alight. Upon hearing this news, Sita felt aggrieved. She prayed mentally to the fire god Agni, "If I possess any merit from service to my husband, and if I am truly devoted to Ram, then please prove cool to Hanuman." At once, Hanuman felt the fire on his tail to be cold. He wondered how that could be possible. Surely it was due to Ram's power, or perhaps it was due to Sita's mercy. Ram's godlike spouse is dear to all beings, Hanuman thought. The fire god would certainly try to please those devoted to her service. As Hanuman went along Lanka's streets, he was derided and abused by the demons. The monkey decided to make his escape. He was tied around his torso with thick ropes that bound his arms to his body. Hanuman suddenly reduced his size and slipped free from those ropes. With a shout of "Victory to Ram!" he sprang into the air. He bounded across the rooftops and made his way toward the city's northern gate. As he leapt, he set fire to the mansions of the Rakshasas with his flaming tail. Assisted by his father, Vayu, and Agni himself, Hanuman soon had a large part of Lanka blazing. Hanuman again assumed his colossal size and roared like a thundercloud that appears at the time of universal dissolution. Many buildings in Lanka cracked and fell, blazing to the ground. Rakshasas ran and flew in all directions, shouting in terror. Seeing Hanuman standing like a mountain, they considered that Agni himself had come to destroy Lanka. Rakshasas fell from their high windows of their mansions, their blazing bodies resembling meteors. Molten gold and silver flowed in rivulets carrying sparkling gems of every description. It seemed as if the whole of the Trikut mountain was ablaze. Huge scarlet and orange flames leapt up and dense palls of black smoke hung like clouds around the mountain. Some of the powerful Rakshasas attacked Hanuman. He took up a massive club and smashed them, killing thousands. "Here is the mighty and vengeful Indra," some cried. "Surely this is Yamaraj meting out his awful punishments." Some said others. Still others considered that Shiva had come there blazing with fury. Indeed, it might be any powerful deity, for the sinful Ravana had angered them all at different times. Perhaps it was even the infallible and unassailable Vishnu, Lord of the entire creation. Hanuman stood on the northern rampart and looked about at the blazing city. Scenes of chaos and turmoil met his eyes on all sides. He felt satisfied with his work and decided that it was time to return to the mainland. In the sky above him, the gods and rishis had assembled and were extolling him with choice poems. But a sudden apprehension seized Hanuman. What about Sita? Surely the princess had been burned alive in this immense conflagration. How had he been so impetuous? Hanuman cursed himself for falling a victim to anger. Under the impulse of anger, a person could kill his elders or rebuke those worthy of worship. He had let himself come fully under the sway of his fury with no thought of the terrible consequences. What would happen now if Sita were killed? The monkey felt gripped by despondency. Even as Hanuman thought this, however, he heard from the sky the Charanas saying, "Hanuman has achieved a great and marvelous feat. This city of Lanka, thickly crowded with demons, has been burnt on all sides. It now stands as if shrieking, and yet the gentle Sita has not been harmed in the least." Reassured by their words, Hanuman decided then to depart. He leapt across the Arista Mountains on the northern shore of Lanka. As he ascended the mountain, which reached up to the clouds, large rocks broke under his feet and scattered down the mountainside. Deer and lions started and fled in fear. Large trees were crushed beneath Hanuman's tread, making a loud cracking sound. On the summit of Arista, Hanuman crouched down, ready to leap across the ocean once more. Shouting Ram's name, Hanuman leapt into the air. Again, the pressure of his leap pressed the mountain down into the earth. All its trees shook and shed their blossoms. Vidyadharas, Kinaras, and Gandharvas, who were sporting on the mountain slopes, rose into the air as the mountain vibrated violently. Thousands of lions living in the mountain caves roared together with a terrific noise. Hanuman rose high into the sky and soared away from Lanka, his mission accomplished. Hanuman Ki Jai! Part 3, War. The army sets off. Hanuman sailed across the firmament, feeling overjoyed at his success. He would soon see Sugriv and Ram and give them the good news that Sita had been found. Leaving Lanka in a state of confusion, he moved the speed of the wind. No Rakshasa gave chase, and they were all engaged in trying to save their afflicted city. Out of fear of Ravana, the fire god had not burned his palace. The Rakshasa king fumed as he gazed out at his blazing city. He should have killed the monkey when he had the chance. Without doubt, Ram and his troops would soon arrive in Lanka, and there would be a great battle. Ravana thought of his boon from Brahma. The demon had no immunity from humans. Would this human king, Ram, be the cause of his death? Was he Vishnu incarnate? He would need to be, mused Ravana. Let the fight go ahead. We will soon see Ram's power. Ravana would not cower before anyone. Death would be preferable. Indeed, death at Vishnu's hands was no shame. Some even said that such a death awarded one the highest regions of bliss. But under no conditions would he surrender Sita. Ram would have to take her by force or not at all. The demon stood lost in reverie. Hanuman sped through the sky like an arrow loosed from a mighty bow. Within an hour, he again saw Mount Mahendra looming large in the distance. The monkey roared again and again, filling the sky with the thunder of his voice. Angada and the others heard his roar and stood on the seashore gazing up at the sky, relieved to realize that Hanuman's roar indicated success. Overpowered by happiness, they leapt up and sprang about on the beach, shouting with joy. Within a few minutes, they saw Hanuman bursting through the clouds, appearing like Garuda in full flight. The Varunas stood with joined palms in respect and appreciation of their compatriot as he descended upon the Mahendra mountain, which shook with the force of his landing. Hanuman quickly descended from the mountain and, again assuming his normal size, ran toward his friends. The monkeys surrounded him, raising cries of joy. They offered Hanuman roots and fruits and laughingly embraced him with tearful eyes. Taking Angada by the hand, Hanuman sat down in a wooded grove near the beach to tell him everything that had happened. I have seen the godly Sita. She sits pining for her lord, surrounded by fierce Rakshasis and constantly harassed by Ravana. We should lose no time in rescuing the princess. Hearing of Hanuman's success, the monkeys set up great shouts. Some roared like lions and others bellowed like bulls. Some raised ululations while dancing around and waving their long curly tails. In the midst of the foremost monkeys, Angada said to Hanuman, "Your feat is without compare. You have saved our lives and rendered a great service to Ram, who will soon be freed of his grief. What marvelous determination and valor you have displayed, dear Hanuman." Angada and Hanuman sat encircled by powerful Varunas, even as Indra and Surya are surrounded by the other gods. As Angada questioned him, Hanuman described in detail all the events that occurred since he left. The monkeys were delighted to hear how he had killed so many powerful Rakshasas and wrought havoc in Lanka, but they were horrified to learn of Ravana's terrible threat to Sita. Angada decided that immediate action was required. "How can we report to Ram that Sita lies in such a sorry state? We must recover her from Lanka. Here are monkeys as powerful as the gods. We shall all of us proceed swiftly to Lanka. Let us destroy that city, kill the evil Ravana, and rescue Sita. Then we can return to Sugriva and Ram." Jambavan did not agree with Angada. "Your suggestion is not wise, O mighty monkey. We were not enjoined to kill Ravana or bring back Sita. We have only been asked to locate her and report to Ram of her whereabouts. That prince has vowed to rescue her himself. Even if we should somehow succeed without Ram, we would falsify his vow." The monkeys accepted Jambavan's advice. The old king of the bears was always wise, and he considered everything carefully. He was right. It was better to report back to Kishkinda. Then they could go to Lanka, united with all the other monkeys, headed by Ram and Lakshmana. There would be plenty of opportunities for fighting at that time. The monkeys got up and immediately set out towards Kishkinda. With Hanuman at their head, they bounded back as fast as they could. Within a few days, they reached the Madhuvan forest, which lay not far from Kishkinda. The forest was extensive and filled with trees loaded with fruits and honeycombs. The monkeys took Angada's permission to drink the honey, which was actually meant for Sugriv, and they consumed it in large quantities. They became intoxicated and danced merrily here and there. Some of them sang loudly while others laughed hysterically. Some leaned unsteadily upon one another and still others lay flat on the ground. They rolled about and slapped their sides. Rolling the beeswax into balls, they pelted one another in sport. They ripped down boughs from trees and whirled them about in mock fights. Leaping from tree to tree, they raised a great tumult in the forest. The Madhavan forest was guarded by a Varuna general named Dadimukha. When he saw the thousands of monkeys, that thousands of monkeys were tearing down the trees and taking the honey, he became infuriated. He dispatched a number of his guards to stop them. Accosted by guards, the monkeys in Angada's party laughed and fought with them. They took hold of the guards by their legs and dragged them about. Others they tossed into the air and slapped around with their palms. When even Dadimukha himself was beaten by Angada, he decided to go and inform Sugriva of the situation. Dadimukha told the Monkey King how Angada and Hanuman, along with thousands of other monkeys, were wrecking the king's personal orchard and stealing his honey. However, upon hearing this report, the intelligent Sugriva became joyful. He turned and spoke to Lakshmana, who was by his side. There can be no doubt that Angada's party has returned successful. O noble Lakshman, my guess is that Hanuman has found Sita. These monkeys would not make so bold with my grove and its honey had they failed in their mission. Lakshmana rejoiced and ran to tell Ram the news. Sugriva told Dadimukha that he should tolerate the misbehavior of the search party and send the monkeys into Kishkinda. Dadimukha bowed to Sugriva and left at once. Realizing that Hanuman had accomplished a great service to the king, he felt gladdened. As he raced back to the Madhavan with Sugriva's message, he forgot all about the beating he had received. Back in the orchard, he saw all the monkeys, who by now had become sober, standing about urinating on the trees. He sought out Angada and bowed before him. "Please forgive me, O prince. I should not have tried to restrain you. Sugriva very much desires to see you, and Hanuman, please go there with all speed." Angada spoke kindly to Dadimukha. Then he raised his arm and shouted to all the other monkeys, "All right, let's go now to Kishkinda. Sugriva and Ram are expecting us." Sugriva awaited their arrival eagerly. He was sure that they had succeeded. It had been almost 3 months since their departure. There was no possibility that Angada would have returned if he had failed. The Monkey King reassured Ram, who was experiencing deep anxiety over Sita. Ram looked up with tear-stained eyes at Sugriva. This was their last chance. All the other parties had returned without success. What if Angada's group had also failed? Ram sat by Sugriva, anxiously awaiting Angada's news. Suddenly, they heard cries in the distance and saw a cloud of dust rising upwards as Angada and his party rushed toward Kishkinda. Sugriva stretched and curled his tail in joy. He saw Angada and Hanuman at the head of the party, bounding swiftly toward him. They appeared like thundering clouds driven along by the wind. Within a few minutes, they had arrived and were prostrating themselves before Sugriva and Ram. Hanuman sat before Ram with folded palms. "My lord, Sita has been found," he said. Tears sprang to Ram's eyes. He jumped up and said eagerly, "Tell me everything about that godly lady. O gallant one, is she well? Where is she? Where indeed is that wicked wretch, Ravana?" With Angada's permission, Hanuman related everything to Ram and Sugriva, describing in detail how he had jumped across the ocean and wrought havoc in Lanka. He told them how Sita was pining for Ram and would not even look at Ravana. He then gave Sita's message to Ram, along with her ornament. Ram took Sita's yellow jewel from Hanuman. He pressed it to his bosom and wept softly. Comforted by Lakshmana, he said, "Even as a cow sheds milk upon seeing its calf, so my heart melts upon seeing this jewel. It originally belonged to Indra and was given to Sita by King Janak. By seeing this brilliant gem, I have directly gained sight of my noble father-in-law as well as my beloved wife Sita." Ram asked Hanuman to repeat Sita's speech again and again. He was pained to learn of her sorry plight and felt her words to be his only consolation. The monkey narrated to Ram his entire conversation with Sita. When he stopped speaking, Ram sat silently for some time, absorbed in thoughts of Sita. At last, he said to Hanuman, "You have accomplished a great deed, dear Hanuman. None but Garuda or the wind god himself could have achieved this feat. Who could leap across the expansive ocean? Who, having once entered Lanka as an enemy, could ever hope to emerge alive? You are a first-class servant, O monkey. You have achieved all that was asked of you and more." Praising Hanuman in various ways, Ram lamented that he could not repay the monkey for the service he had rendered. All he could offer him was his embrace. "O Hanuman, that is all I can call my own at this time." Ram said as he took hold of Hanuman and tightly hugged him. Ram then began to consider how to recover Sita. How could he and millions of monkeys cross the ocean? He again felt despondent and asked Sugriv if he had any ideas. The monkey replied, "In my opinion, a bridge should be constructed across the ocean. There is no need to lament. We now know Sita's whereabouts, and we have amassed an army that is more than capable of annihilating the demons. I am confident, for I perceive many good omens, and my mind feels delighted." After hearing Sugriva speak, Ram became determined. He said to the monkeys, "I am surely able to cross the sea, either by the mystic power I have acquired through asceticism, by throwing a bridge over it, or by drying it up with my fiery arrows. O Hanuman, tell us of Lanka's fortifications and defenses, for we all shall soon arrive there for battle." Hanuman described everything he had seen in Lanka. The city was atop a great mountain thickly covered with forests. At the edge of the city was a wide moat infested with alligators. All around Lanka were vast ramparts with steel-barred drawbridges and gates. Hordes of Rakshasas prowled about the ramparts, holding spiked clubs which could kill 100 warriors with a single blow. Great catapults were lined along the defensive walls, as well as machines that could fire blazing iron darts to a distance of 10 miles. Ravana's forces were all but unlimited in number. They were highly trained and could use every kind of weapon, and they remained constantly alert to any danger. They had already had enough time to repair the damage caused by Hanuman and would now be especially vigilant, expecting Ram's attack. When Hanuman finished speaking, Ram said fearlessly, "Without delay, I shall destroy this great city of Lanka. Let us immediately prepare to depart. It is the auspicious midday hour. Favorable constellations augur our success. Having abducted Sita, the despicable Ravana shall not escape with his life." Sugriva warmly applauded Ram, who then began issuing orders. He asked Sugriva's commanders of troops, Nila, to head an advance party out of Kishkinda. They should prepare the way for the whole army, ensuring that no hostile troops lay in ambush. Only the most powerful monkey should go, as a difficult task lay ahead. Ram personally named the best monkey warriors, Gaja, Gavaya, Gundamandana, Rishabha, Dvidvida, Mainda, and others. Then he said, "Mounting Hanuman's back, I myself shall go, even as Indra rides upon his elephant Airavata. I shall march in the center of the army, cheering the troops as they rush like a flood. Lakshmana should mount Angada's back, as Kuvera would ride upon the elephant Sarvabhauma, who guards the eastern quarter of the universe." Sugriva bowed to Ram and then gave detailed instructions to his monkeys. Gradually, many millions of powerful monkeys moved off in a southerly direction. Springing and bounding in joy, they pursued swiftly like masses of clouds driven by a gale. They roared and shouted their determination. "We will slaughter Ravana and the Rakshasas. Not one shall survive." The monkeys sportingly lifted and tossed each other around. They leapt up trees and hills and jumped upon one another's backs. As they pressed forward, they roared like the tumultuous ocean. At the rear of the monkeys came Jambavan and his contingent of bears. In the midst of them, all were Ram and Lakshman, seated on the backs of Hanuman and Angada. They looked like the sun and moon conjoined with Jupiter and Venus and surrounded by innumerable stars. Lakshmana spoke to his elder brother, "The omens are all good, Ram. A gentle breeze follows us and the sun shines brightly. The beasts and birds run and fly along with us. This army of monkeys and bears are roaring in joy, and they are ablaze with splendor. In the night skies, I have observed numerous auspicious portents. Undoubtedly, your success is imminent, dear brother." Ram smiled as he rocked about on the back of Hanuman, who was racing ahead with swift steps. The vast party raised an enormous dust cloud, which screened the sky. They were like a continuous line of clouds covering the heavens. When they crossed rivers, the currents flowed backwards for many miles. Bounding through lakes, they caused them to overflow and flood the surrounding land. They broke down trees and smashed rocks, haughtily vaunting their prowess to one another. Traveling by day and by night, they quickly approached the southern shore of the sea. When they reached the ocean, Ram spoke to Sugriv. "Here lies the vast sea, O valiant monkey. This lord of the rivers cannot be crossed easily. Some device is required. Let us camp here and deliberate upon our next course of action." When the army came down onto the beach, it stretched for miles like a second ocean. It created a noise that drowned out the roar of the sea as the monkeys discussed how to reach Lanka. None was capable of emulating Hanuman's incredible leap. The Varanas and bears stared out at the tossing waves, wondering what Ram and Sugriva would decide to do next. Chapter 2. Panic in Lanka. In Lanka, Ravana had assembled his ministers for a full council meeting. Seeing the terrible carnage and destruction wrought by Hanuman, the demon spoke to his advisors. "This city, which we previously thought unassailable, has been penetrated and wrecked by a mere monkey. My gardens are destroyed, our temple has been outraged, and some of the topmost Rakshasas have been slain, including my own son, Prince Aksha. Indeed, that wretched monkey has single-handedly turned the city upside down." Ravana looked around at his advisors. He asked them to carefully deliberate and then decide on their next course of action. The demon king was apprehensive. He was sure that Ram and his army would somehow cross the ocean before long, and Hanuman's demonstration of strength and power had been astonishing. If the rest of the monkeys were like him... Ravana continued, "I am depending on your advice, O Rakshasas. It is said that he is a wise person who, before an undertaking, seeks the counsel of learned persons versed in the scripture. However, he who simply acts without due consideration and advice will quickly come to ruin." The demon king's generals were all powerful, but they lacked intelligence and political wisdom. Without understanding the full extent and power of the Varana forces, they spoke of them derisively. The Rakshasas boasted of their own prowess, dismissing Ram and his army as being of no consequence. They reminded Ravana how he had defeated the gods, Gandharvas, Yakshas, Nagas, Daityas, Danavas, and other foes in battle. Ravana had even repulsed death himself. What fear could he have from an army of humans and animals? One of the mightiest Rakshasas, Prahasta, stood up and, with his palms folded toward Ravana, spoke in a voice that boomed like thunder. "We were caught unawares by Hanuman, who sneaked into Lanka. Had I been prepared for him, then that monkey would not have left this city alive. Indeed, I can sweep the entire globe clean of monkeys in no time at all. Simply command me, O Lord." Another powerful Rakshasa named Virupaksha stood up and spoke furiously, holding aloft his frightful iron bludgeon, which was stained with flesh and blood. "How can we tolerate this monkey's affront? Order me, and I shall leave this very hour. I will smash Ram and Lakshman with my iron club and crush the entire monkey army, even if they flee into the dread deep or take refuge in the heavens. They shall not escape my wrath." One Rakshasa suggested that they employ trickery, disguising themselves as humans and infiltrating Ram's army. They could pretend to be a contingent dispatched by Ram's brother Bharata. Once they entered his army, the rest of the Rakshasas could attack from the air. The Varana army would then be torn to pieces by a two-pronged assault from both within and without. One after another, each of the leading Rakshasas declared that he alone could defeat Ram and his troops. Ravana should remain peacefully in Lanka. The demon forces would swiftly cross the ocean and annihilate the monkeys before they could even approach the city. Standing together, the Rakshasa generals raised a great tumult in Ravana's assembly hall. They grasped their bows, arrows, spears, pikes, javelins, and iron maces and asked Ravana for his order to depart for battle. Bibhishan, Ravana's younger brother, then stood up. As the clamor of the other demons died down, he spoke to Ravana. "The wise declare that force should only be used after other methods of achieving one's aim have failed. Furthermore, force is said to be likely to succeed only when the enemy is weaker, devoid of virtue, or condemned by their own adverse fate. Ram is ever alert and possesses boundless might. He is virtue incarnate, and he is assisted by every divine power. No one who knows what is best would counsel an attack upon Ram. Bibhishan was not like the other Rakshasas. He did not share their inclination for wanton living and violent behavior. Although he is Ravana's blood brother, Bibhishan was given to meditation and the practice of virtue. He also realized Ram's divine nature. He spoke gravely, intent on his brother's welfare. Have you forgotten how Ram disposed of Kara and his troops? Think carefully about Hanuman's feat in leaping across the ocean and wrecking Lanka. Do not underestimate the power of Ram and his servants. Bibhishan advised Ravana to give Sita back to Ram. If he did not do so, then before long he would be witness to the total destruction of Lanka. All the heroic Rakshasas would perish like moths entering a fire. Ravana should pursue the path of righteousness if he wanted to see his city and his followers survive. Ravana listened to his brother without comment. He did not like Vibhishan's advice, but it made him somewhat circumspect. The demon king then dismissed his assembly, saying that he would decide the next day what should be done. The following day at dawn, Bibhishan again approached Ravana. As he passed through the long, wide passageways of Ravana's palace, he heard the sound of Vedic hymns being chanted by the Yatudanas, blessing the Rakshasa king that he might attain victory. Bibhishan knew that Ravana was not going to achieve victory against Ram. He had to avert the total devastation of his people, which he now saw as imminent. Bibhishan entered Ravana's chambers and greeted his brother with gentle and soothing words. Ravana glanced over at an ornate golden seat, and Bibhishan sat down, looking intently upon his brother. Bibhishana had studied all the codes of religion. He knew what was right in every circumstance, and he now tendered beneficial advice to Ravana. Ever since Sita was abducted, there have been numerous bad omens in Lanka. The sacrificial fire emits sparks and is enveloped by smoke. The cow's milk has dried up. Horses neigh dolefully, even though well-fed and tended. Crows swarm about, uttering harsh cries. Jackals howl ominously day and night. Bibhishan described many other types of evil portents and again asked Ravana to return Sita to Ram. This action alone will save you, all the other Rakshasas in this city from destruction, Vibhishana said. Even if you find me in some way self-motivated, you should not ignore my advice, for doing so will have terrible consequences. Ravana sat shaking his head. He grunted contemptuously and replied to his brother, How can Ram stand before me in battle? Under no circumstances shall I return Sita. Today in council, I shall issue orders for battle. Bibhishana shook his head sorrowfully. It was hopeless. Ravana seemed bent on his own destruction. Ravana dismissed Bibhishana and sat brooding for a while. He had to have Sita. For the last 10 months, he had tried everything to win her over, and he was not going to give up now. If he could only kill Ram, then surely she would be won. But this Ram was no ordinary man. That much was obvious. And if the monkeys were all like Hanuman, then he had a real battle on his hands. No matter. There was no question of an ignominious surrender. A fight to the last was the only thing acceptable. If Ram were a mere mortal man, then he would certainly succumb to the might of the Rakshasas. And if he were Vishnu himself, well, defeat at the hands of a powerful foe was never shameful. Ravana would not be cowed by any enemy. He would fight. The demon rose up and swept toward his assembly hall, followed by bards who uttered poems in his praise. Coming from his inner chambers, he mounted a golden chariot and sped down the wide road that led to the hall. He was surrounded on all sides by Rakshasas, attired in diversely styled robes and adorned with every kind of jewel. These powerful Rakshasas, capable of contending single-handedly with tens of thousands of warriors, roared loudly. They held upraised weapons of every sort in their hands. As Ravana and his generals approached the hall, Trumpets blared and conch shells blasted. Innumerable kettle drums were beaten as the demon king went through the great doorway into his hall. Ravana strode across the golden floor of the hall toward his crystal throne, which is spread with the skins of the Priyaka deer. After taking his seat, he ordered that a full council of war be assembled. Immediately, swift messengers flew off to every part of the city, calling for all the Rakshasa leaders. Hearing Ravana's order, the mighty Rakshasas rushed toward the assembly hall from all directions. Some mounted great chariots, some rode elephants, and others ran on foot. They quickly entered the assembly hall as lions might enter a rocky mountain cave. After prostrating themselves before Ravana, they took their seats, each according to his rank. As they sat gazing on their ruler's face, they appeared like the Vasus surrounding Indra. Bibhishana took his seat next to Ravana on a golden throne. When Ravana saw that everyone was present and sitting silently, he turned to Prahasta and spoke, "You should issue orders to ensure that Lanka's defenses are fortified. All four kinds of troops should be made ready, for a great fight is at hand." Prahasta immediately rose and gave order to his key Rakshasas. Within a short time, he returned to Ravana and he said, "It is done." Ravana then addressed the entire assembly. "All of you know well your duty in all circumstances. My undertakings executed through all of you have never proved futile. I wish to enjoy the royal fortune forever, ruling over Lanka with justice and compassion. However, we now stand threatened by Ram and his army for the sake of Sita, whom I abducted. I cannot part with that lovely lady, smitten as I am by the shafts of love. Although she has not yet submitted to my advances, she has promised me that after 1 year has passed, she will be mine. Therefore, I must by all means repulse Ram's attacks. O Rakshasas, tell me if this meets your approval or not." Ravana lied about Sita. She had never indicated that she would accept him at any time. He gazed around the assembly with his 10 heads, looking for his subjects' agreement. Except perhaps for Bibhishan, he did not expect that anyone would argue with him. But suddenly his powerful brother, Kumbhakarna, stood up in a rage. "O Rakshasa, you now seek our counsel, but what advice did you ask when you stole Sita from Ram?" he thundered. "Actions taken without due consideration of their righteousness, without recourse to proper counsel, lead only to grief. On an impulse alone, you abducted Sita from Ram, and now you face a severe consequence. Fortunately, however, you have me as your well-wisher. I shall make good your foolish action by standing against Ram and Lakshman on the battlefield. Give up your fear and rest at ease. The two human brothers will not return with life once they face me." Kumbhakarna was as powerful as Ravana, but he had once been tricked by the gods into asking a boon from Brahma that he might enjoy 6 months of sleep at a time. Brahma had thus said that he would remain awake for only 1 day every 6 months. The day of the council happened to be his 1 day of wakefulness. The following day, he would again fall into a deep slumber. He was nevertheless devoted to his brother and was prepared to do whatever he could to help him. Kumbhakarna was wise, and he knew Ram was a formidable foe. He wanted to fight him and either attain a glorious victory or, as was more likely, die gloriously at Ram's hands. But first, he would need to be awakened. Although smarting from his brother's admonishment, Ravana thanked Kumbhakarna for his support. Then Mahaparshva, a leader of some of Ravana's troops, stood and asked him a question. "My lord, having secured the beautiful Sita, why do you not simply enjoy her by force? Who can prevent you or do anything about it?" Ravana then told them of the long past incident with Rumba. "This is a secret I have never revealed," he said. Nalakuvera's verse was reinforced by the words of Brahma himself. "Indeed, the powerful creator upon whom my own strength rests said that if I ever again violate a woman, my life would end immediately." Ravana looked around the assembly. The Rakshasas were dedicated to him and ready to fight with any enemy on his behalf. They sat awaiting his command. The demon king boasted to them of his power. "Surely Ram has not seen me in battle, as furious as the raging ocean and as swift as the wind. Otherwise, he would not be so foolish as to march on Lanka. He has not seen arrows like flaming serpents with forked tongues loosed in millions from my bow. Ram wants to face death himself, standing enraged on the battlefield. I shall consume Ram in no time. I will disperse his army as the sun disperses a morning mist. Ravana railed on for some time. When he had at last become silent, Bibhishan stood up to speak. He knew it was more or less hopeless. Ravana was already set on battle, but he had to make one last attempt to make his brother see sense. His voice echoed around the silent hall as everyone listened to his words. By whom has the immense and highly venomous serpent, known as Sita, been tied around your neck? That serpent has for its sharp fangs Sita's sweet smiles. Her bosom is its coils, her five fingers are its five hoods, and her thoughts of Ram are its deadly poison. O Ravana, do not destroy your race. Before we see monkeys like great mountains bounding toward Lanka and arrows like thunderbolts falling in the heads of our warriors, return Sita to Ram. Bibhishana tried at length to convince Ravana of his folly. Although he was rebuked by various Rakshasas, he insisted that the only way to save Lanka was to return Sita. He made it clear that it was his duty as a counselor to tend advice conducive to the interests of his master. He would not neglect that duty out of weakness or fear, nor out of a desire to say something pleasing. Even if advice were distasteful, it should be given by a counselor who properly understood his duty, and a wise leader was he who was able to hear both palatable and unpalatable advice, giving equal consideration to both. Indrajit became impatient and agitated upon hearing Bibhishan speak. He retorted, "How do you call yourself a Rakshasa, O weak uncle? Surely you are devoid of courage, virility, prowess, heroism, and spirit. These two men can be slain by any Rakshasa, even the most insignificant among us. Why then do you tremble in fear?" Indrajit bragged about his own strength. He had overcome hosts of gods headed by Indra riding upon the celestial elephant Airavata. He vowed that he would kill Ram and Lakshman personally. Bibhishan rebuked him with strong words. "Being a mere boy, your intelligence is not mature. You cannot see what is right and wrong, dear child. Although called a son, you are actually your father's enemy. You are evil-minded and deserve death, for your counsel will lead only to the death of all those who listen to you. You are indiscriminate, dull-witted, wicked, and ignorant. You do not understand Ram's power. There are none among the gods, daityas, danavas, or rakshasas who can withstand the flaming arrows Ram will loose in combat." Ravana had heard enough. He would not accept Bibhishan's advice. All he wanted now was to get on with the fight that lay ahead. He spoke furiously. "It is better to live with an enraged serpent than a person who, although pretending to be a friend, is actually in league with the enemy. It is a fact that kinsfolk usually despise their chief, even though he may be carrying out all his duties. The greatest danger lies in one's own relatives, O disgrace of our race, for they may turn on one at any time. Although a brother, you are unworthy of my affection. Indeed, one bestowing love upon the unworthy obtains only grief." Ravana vented his anger, insulting Vibhishan in various ways. He told him that he had not been his brother. Had he not been his brother, he surely would have killed him for his words. Bibhishan realized that there was nothing he could do to help the proud demon king. Along with his four ministers, who were his close followers and friends, he rose up into the air. Stationed in space, with mace in hand, he spoke to Ravana. "You who have addressed me with harsh words, O king, are deluded. Say what you will, for your intelligence is lost. Those speaking pleasant words can easily be found, O Ravana, but one who speaks unpalatable truth is rare. One fallen under death's sway does not heed the words of wisdom offered by a well-wisher. I have tried my best, wishing to save you from certain destruction. Now be happy in my absence. I can no longer tolerate your abusive speech. even though you're my elder. Farewell. I shall now depart. Bibhishana soared away from the assembly hall, accompanied by his four friends. Ravana made no attempt to stop him and was glad to see him go. Now there were none who would oppose his desires. He issued orders to prepare for battle. For battle. Chapter 3. Ram confronts the ocean. Bibhishana had decided to join Ram. He crossed the ocean and arrived at Ram's camp in less than an hour. The intelligent Rakshasa stayed in the air and asked to see the leader of the monkeys. Sugriva quickly appeared. Seeing the five huge Rakshasas in the sky wearing armor and adorned with celestial jewels, he was apprehensive. He thought carefully. Had the Rakshasas come to attack the monkeys? Perhaps this was some kind of cunning trick, of which Rakshasas were so fond. Sugriva looked closely at Bibhishana. The Rakshasas looked like a mountain or a cloud and vied with Indra in splendor. All five Rakshasas were holding various weapons. Sugriva spoke to Hanuman. Surely these Rakshasas have some malicious intent at heart. Let us take up rocks and trees. Leaping into the air, we shall quickly finish them before they can execute their plans. As Sugriva spoke, Vibhishana addressed him from the sky. There is an evil Rakshasa by the name Ravana. I am his brother, Vibhishana. He has carried away Ram's consort by using trickery and deceit. Although I repeatedly advised him to return the princess, the demon would not listen. I have thus come here to seek Ram's shelter. Bibhishana asked the monkeys to inform Ram of his presence. Sugriva was still highly suspicious. He ran up to Ram and said, One of the enemy has suddenly made his appearance here. No doubt he seeks the opportunity to kill us when we are unaware. Perhaps he is a spy. There may be other invisible Rakshasas around. No trust should ever be reposed in these demons. Please tell us how we should deal with this one. Sugriva told Ram Bibhishana's name and who he was, as well as what he said. The Monkey King was sure that Bibhishana had evil intentions and had been sent there by Ravana himself. He suggested that the Rakshasa and his followers be killed immediately. Ram listened carefully. He looked around at the other monkey chiefs who sat with him. You have heard Sugriva's suggestion. What do the rest of you think? Each of them gave their opinion. They all felt that Bibhishana was to be treated with the utmost caution and suspicion, that he should be interrogated and tested before they placed any trust in him. Ram then turned to Hanuman and asked his opinion. The monkey had studied all the scriptures, and bowing to Ram, he replied, Although you are well able to ascertain for yourself this Rakshasa's intentions, you nevertheless seek our opinion out of humility and kindness. I shall therefore speak my feelings in this regard. In my view, we should accept Bibhishana as our own. I do not think he has any devious purpose. Hanuman said that he had not detected any deceit in the speech or expression of Vibhishana. If a person has ill motives, then it is always revealed in their expression. Hanuman felt that Bibhishan had wisely decided that Ram's cause was superior to Ravana's. It appeared that the Rakshasa was moral and desired to assist Ram. Having given his opinion, which differed from that of his companions, Hanuman asked Ram for his view. Ram thanked all of them for their suggestions and then said, I cannot refuse to receive a person who has sought my shelter. Whatever his intentions, I must accept a supplicant. This is never condemned in the eyes of good people. Sugriva was alarmed by Ram's statement. He was still convinced that Bibhishan was inimical. The Monkey King tried again to convince Ram. What does it matter whether his intentions are good or bad? Sugriva argued. After all, he is a Rakshasa and will always revert to his own nature. Furthermore, if he can abandon even his own brother, then how can we ever trust him as our friend? Sugriva wanted Bibhishan to be taken captive and perhaps even killed. The Rakshasa was Ravana's brother. His allegiance to Ram would never exceed his deeper attachment to his own people. Sugriva looked anxiously at Ram, who who smiled and replied gently, "Your concerns are well-founded, O noble Varuna, but I have given it careful thought. Even if this demon is malevolent, what harm can he do? I can annihilate the entire horde of Rakshasas with my fingertip. We should not have any fear. We should always abide by the instructions of the Vedas." Ram explained that even an enemy must be received with hospitality according to the scriptural rules. If a person comes seeking shelter, then one must offer him protection, even at the cost of his own life. No consideration should be made of his intentions, good or bad. If a supplicant is turned away and perishes as a result, then he takes all the pious merits of the man who turned him away. Great sin is incurred by such neglect. Ram concluded, "If a person comes to me saying, 'I am yours only once,' then I shall give him courage and protection from all danger forever after." O Ram, we are yours. This is my solemn vow made here before you all. Even if Ravana himself came to me, I would not refuse him shelter. Bring Bibhishana here, for I have already granted him safety." Everyone present was moved deeply by Ram's speech. With tears flowing from his eyes, Sugriv said, "It is no wonder that you should speak in this way, O Ram. You are the best knower of what is right and are always devoted to virtue. My doubts are gone. Let Bibhishana enjoy our friendship on an equal level with all of us." Sugriv gave Bibhishan Ram's message. Feeling reassured, the Rakshasa descended to the earth along with his devoted followers. He went before Ram and lay flat on the ground with his bejeweled hands touching Ram's feet. Getting up onto his knees, he addressed Ram respectfully. "I am Bibhishan, the younger half-brother of Ravana. Insulted by him, I have come here, abandoning my family, friends, and home. O Ram, you are the only shelter of all beings. My very life now depends upon you." Ram glanced affectionately at Bibhishana. He spoke soothingly to the Rakshasa, welcoming him. Ram then asked him about Ravana's strengths and weaknesses. "Please tell me in truth all that you know about Ravana and Lanka." Bibhishana told Ram about Ravana's boon. He described the power of Ravana's chief warriors, Kumbhakarna, Indrajit, Prahasta, Mahodara, and others. All of them were capable of facing the mightiest fighters even among the gods. Accompanied by them, Ravana had given battle to the four guardians of the universe, all of whom he had routed. Ram replied to Bibhishana, "I have indeed heard of all these exploits of Ravana, which you have truthfully related. Hear me now. After killing in battle the ten-handed Ravana with all of his followers, I shall crown you the king of Lanka. There need be no doubt whatsoever. I swear by my three brothers that I shall not return to Ayodhya without slaying Ravana with his sons, kinfolk, and people." Bibhishana again bowed to Ram and promised to render him every assistance in the upcoming battle. Ram ordered Lakshman to go at once and fetch some seawater. With that water, Ram immediately consecrated Bibhishana as the ruler of Lanka. Witnessing this display of grace, all the monkeys leapt about joyfully, roaring and shouting, while Bibhishana sat with his head bowed. Hanuman then approached Bibhishana and asked how the army could possibly cross the ocean. After thinking for some while, Bibhishana suggested that Ram personally ask the ocean god to reveal some means of crossing. The ocean had been excavated by a great king in Ram's line, and thus the deity would no doubt wish to render him some service in return. Ram was pleased with Bibhishana's advice, and he spread a seat of kusha grass on the seashore. He sat there and began to pray to the god to reveal himself. As Ram sat on the beach, Ravana's spy flew over the Varuna army. He determined its size and power and returned with all speed to Ravana. Falling before the demon king, the spy submitted, "Like another sea, a deep and immeasurable flood of monkeys and bears is moving towards Lanka. They are spread out for 100 miles in all directions. At their head are the two powerful princes, Ram and Lakshman. Even now they are camped on the seashore, determining some means of crossing it." Ravana became perturbed. He ordered a demon named Sukha to carry a message to Sugriv. Tell the monkeys that he has nothing to gain by assaulting Lanka, he ordered. I have never done him any harm. What does it matter to him if I carried off Sita? Ravana told Sukha to warn Sugriva off. It would not be possible for monkeys and bears to defeat Rakshasas. Not even the gods could overpower Lanka. What then could a few mere mortal creatures do? They had best return peacefully to their own country. The powerful Sukha turned himself into a large bird and flew swiftly across the sea. He swooped over the monkey army and found Sugriv. From the air, the Rakshasas delivered Ravana's message, but even as he was speaking, the monkeys suddenly sprang up and dragged him down. They began to beat him violently. Sukha cried out for Ram's mercy. Only an envoy who has spoken his own view rather than his master's message deserves death. O Ram, I have faithfully related Ravana's message and should therefore not be slain. Ram ordered the monkeys to let Sukha go. The demon again rose into the air and asked for Sugriva's reply to Ravana. The monkey king said to the demon, Ravana should be informed that I am neither his friend nor his well-wisher. Indeed, he has formed an enmity with Ram and is thus my sworn enemy as well. For stealing Sita from Ram, the demon deserves death at my hands and that he shall receive in due course. Sugriv sent a message that Ravana would not escape even if he sought shelter in the furthermost part of the universe. He would certainly be killed along with his entire demon force. The Rakshasa was no match for Ram and his army. Ravana obviously lacked prowess because he stole Sita when Ram was absent. Now he faced a terrible calamity in the shape of Sugriv and his army. After Sukha had left, Ram sat with a consecrated mind at the edge of the sea. He meditated on the sea god, Samudra, and waited patiently for him to appear. 3 days and nights passed as Ram sat motionless on the beach, but still the ocean deity did not come. Ram became enraged, and he spoke to Lakshman, Just see the vanity of this god. Although I have sat here humbly beseeching his audience, he has not appeared. Alas, forbearance, gentleness, and politeness of speech are construed as weakness by the wicked. The world regards with respect only those who are arrogant, harsh, and given to meting out strong punishments. O Lakshmana, neither fame nor victory nor even popularity can be won by conciliation. I shall therefore stand with my bow and flaming arrows. I shall dry up the ocean this very day. The monkeys may go on foot to Lanka, watch now as I exhibit my prowess. Ram was furious with Samudra. Feeling insulted, he stood firmly on the beach, forcibly stringing his great bow. His eyes were red and he blazed like the fire of universal destruction. He instantaneously released hundreds of fleet arrows toward the sea. The ocean began to roar and rise up in massive billows. Clouds of steam covered its surface as the flaming arrows entered the water. Long, writhing sea serpents and great dark whales were thrown about. Waves resembling the Mundara Mountain were seen to rise up one after another. Even far beneath the ocean, the Danavas and Nagas felt disturbed and cried out in distress. Lakshman rushed toward Ram and held on to his bow. There is no need for this display, dear brother, he exclaimed. Men of your caliber never give way to anger. Your purpose will surely be achieved without such violence. In the sky, invisible rishis called out, O Ram, hold, be at peace. But Ram's anger did not abate. He placed upon his bow a large golden arrow and began thinking of the mantras to invoke the Brahmastra. Stretching his bow with vehemence, he gazed furiously at the raging sea. Suddenly the heavens were enveloped by darkness and fierce winds blew. Large bolts of lightning were seen and the earth itself shook. The ocean surged back a distance of 10 miles and rose up to a tremendous height. Ram stood immovable with his arrow trained on the waters. Then suddenly, before everyone's sight, Samudra appeared. Rising up from the ocean, he seemed like the bright sun at dawn. He shone like a glossy black gem and was adorned with brilliant golden ornaments. Clad in red robes with a garland of red flowers, he had eyes like large lotuses. A wreath of celestial flowers crowned his head. On his chest was a prominent jewel which shed a white luster all around, surrounded by many river goddesses. He came before Ram and placed before him a large heap of shining jewels taken from the ocean depths. He spoke in a sonorous voice. Every element has its natural state, O Ram. My nature is to be fathomless and unfordable. I did not wish to deviate my constitutional position, neither from infatuation nor from fear. Nevertheless, I shall tell you the means by which I may be crossed by your army. The monkey named Nala is a son of Vishvakarma, the heavenly architect. He can construct a bridge over me, which I will sustain. Samudra assured Ram that he would be able to cross him without fear. The deity would ensure that the fierce creatures inhabiting his depths would not be aggressive. Ram still stood with his bow at the ready on his with his arrow ready on his bow. However, he was now pleased with the sea god, and he said, "This unfailing shaft must be released. Tell me, O abode of Varuna, where should I send this arrow?" Samudra asked Ram to fire the arrow upon a part of his waters to the north. There were numerous sinful demons inhabiting that region, and Samudra did not like his waters being polluted by this touch. Ram assented and shot his fiery arrow to the north, drying up that whole section of the ocean. Samudra then disappeared from view. Nala was enlivened by the task that faced him. He informed Ram that he had been granted a boon by Vishvakarma, the god's engineer, who decreed that Nala's abilities would equal his own. Nala was confident that he could build the bridge. He ordered the monkeys to fetch the necessary materials. The monkeys leapt about joyfully, applying themselves to the work with great energy. Soon there were thousands of trees and massive heaps of rocks piled on the beach. Nala had them thrown in the ocean, and they sent up huge splashes of water. Using lengths of creepers to measure and make straight lines, Nala gradually constructed his bridge over the sea. The ocean allowed even great rocks to float on its waters. Binding together tree trunks, rocks, and reeds, the monkeys built the bridge toward Lanka. On the first day, they covered over 100 miles. Becoming even more enthusiastic, they built 150 miles on the second day and nearly 200 on the third. In this way, the bridge was completed in only 5 days and reached right across the ocean to the shores of Lanka. On the southern shore of Lanka stood Vibhishan and his ministers, maces in hand, ready to repulse any Rakshasas who tried to attack the bridge. The gods, the Gandharvas, along with the celestial rishis, all stood in amazement as they gazed upon the bridge. It was 80 miles wide and 800 miles long. The monkeys and bears swarmed onto it, shouting and roaring in joy. Like a great flood, they swept toward Lanka. In their forefront were Ram and Lakshman mounted upon the backs of Hanuman and Angada. They soon reached Lanka and ordered the army to encamp on the shore. Ram sat with Lakshman and Sugriv. He told the Monkey King to leave his troops ready for battle at any time. He spoke of evil portents and he had witnessed. Winds full of dust are blowing. The earth is quaking and trees are falling. Dark clouds are thundering and giving forth drops of blood. On all sides there are ferocious beasts uttering fierce screams as they face the sun. Ram described many omens and said that they foretold the destruction of both armies. Eminent heroes among the Varanas, bears and Rakshasas, will soon be killed, Ram said gravely. Sugriva had the army arrayed in battle formation. They spread out and surrounded the city of the Rakshasas from the eastern to the western side. As they approached Lanka, they heard a deafening clamor of war drums from within. The monkeys rejoiced at hearing that hair-raising sound, and they roared loudly, drowning out the drums. Hearing the terrifying roars, the demons clasped their weapons more tightly. Ram looked upon Lanka and felt a pang of separation from Sita. Here she was at last. The vile Ravana also lay within this city, tormenting the anguished princess. Ram was anxious to face the demon. He spoke to Lakshmana. "Here is the splendid city of Lanka. built long ago by Vishvakarma. It looks like the sky filled with white clouds. Ram had the army deployed in a human-shaped formation with its arms stretching around the city. The most powerful monkeys were stationed at the various key points. Ram himself, along with his brother, stood at the head of the formation. The monkeys took up gigantic trees and rocks, saying to one another, "Let us dash this city to pieces." Chapter 4. Ravana's Evil Trickery. In Lanka, Ravana received reports from his spies that the monkeys were amassed outside the city. The terrified Sukha told him that Ram's army was inestimable in size and power. He recommended that Ravana immediately return Sita to Ram. Sukha's suggestion infuriated Ravana. "I would not give back Sita, even if the entire host of gods now stood outside Lanka," he bellowed. "Oh, when shall my arrows dart toward Ram like bees toward flowers in the spring? I shall eclipse his army even as the rising sun obscures the stars." Ravana bragged of his power at length. He had no intention of making peace with Ram. The demon arrogantly asserted that his power was without compare. It would be a one-sided fight. The demon king was nevertheless impressed by the fact that the army had crossed the ocean by building a great bridge. He needed to more carefully assess their power, and he ordered Sukha and another Rakshasa, Sharna, to enter the enemy ranks. "Disguise yourself well and ascertain the exact size of this army. Find out who are the generals and who are Ram's counselors. Tell me who is their commander-in-chief." Sukha and Sharna disguised themselves as monkeys and penetrated deep into Ram's army. They could not find the end of his troops. The monkey forces occupied woods, mountains, rivers, and flatland for as long as it could be seen. It stretched back across the bridge all the way to the opposite shore, still moving toward Lanka. The sound of Ram's army was tumultuous, and it struck fear into the hearts of the Rakshasas. As the two spies wandered amid Ram's soldiers, Vibhishan detected them. He had them captured and brought before Ram. The monkeys kicked and pummeled them as they were dragged towards Ram, and the Rakshasas were terrified and afraid for their lives. They joined their palms and implored Ram, "Dear sir, we are two spies sent by Ravana to find out everything about your army. Please spare us." Ram laughed heartily and replied, "You need have no fear of your lives, O night rangers. If you have seen the entire army, then return to Ravana at once. If not, then I shall have Bibhishana show you whatever you wish to see. Then you may deliver the following message to your king." Ram wanted Ravana to be fully informed of the immensity of the forces that now surrounded his city. Perhaps the foolish demon would see sense. Ram asked the spies to tell Ravana to display all his strength. The next day he would see his city with its defensive walls and arches broken down by Ram's arrows. At daybreak, Ram said he would let loose his terrible anger on the Rakshasas. The two spies were released and they sped back into the city. They went trembling before Ravana and spoke, "It seems to us that Ram and Lakshman alone could uproot Lanka with its walls, palaces, and entire hosts of Rakshasas. The glory and power of these brothers is limitless. They are united with an army of Varnas who appear frightful and who are bellowing joyfully at the prospect of war. O Lord, abandon your policy of antagonism while there is still time. Return Sita to Ram." Ravana roared angrily. Again, his weak-hearted followers were suggesting something to which he could never agree. Again, he said that Lanka was impenetrable, even by the denizens of heaven, never mind a few monkeys. The spies were obviously afraid because they had been beaten by the monkeys, but Ravana would never give way to fear under any circumstances. Followed by Sukha and Sarna, he went up to the top of his palace, wanting to see for himself the monkey army. Standing atop his snow-white palace, which was as high as dozens of tall palm trees, Ravana gazed around. Near the walls of the city, he saw an ocean of dark-colored monkeys and bears. He focused his gaze upon the head of the army and asked Sarna the names of the chief monkeys. Sarna replied, "That colossal monkey stands facing Lanka and roaring like a furious bull is Sugriva, their king. The one on by his side who looks like and thunders like a dark storm is called Nila, his commander. Near him is the massive monkey who is pacing about and repeatedly yawning in fury is Angada, the crown prince. And there is Hanuman, who single-handedly laid waste to Lanka. You have already met him. Sarna went on to describe all the powerful monkey generals, pointing them out one by one. The awestruck Rakshasa praised the power of Ram's army, which he felt was unassailable. Ravana looked carefully at the foremost monkeys. They were all standing firm with their faces toward the city. Brandishing thick trees and rocks resembling mountain peaks, they shouted and roared, eager for the battle to commence. Behind them stretched the vast army, covering every visible part of the island of Lanka. Ravana saw Ram with Lakshman shining together like the sun and the moon. Near them, Bibhishana stood, holding his mace and surrounded by his four ministers. The demon king, agitated at heart and indignant, spoke harshly and angrily to his two spies, who stood with their heads bent low. How have you dared to glorify in my presence the enemy forces? No wisdom or good sense exists in either of you. Indeed, the load of ignorance is borne by both of you alone. By sheer good luck, I have been able to retain the sovereignty of Lanka with stupid ministers like yourselves. I should have both of you put to death at once. My anger is hardly abated, even when I think of your past services. Get out of here. I do not want to see your faces again. Ravana ordered that some other spies be quickly brought. They told him to go among Ram's army and try to ascertain their exact battle plan. They should discover everything about Ram, where he slept, where he ate, what were his habits. Equipped with this knowledge, Ravana felt confident he could repulse his enemy. The spies, headed by a demon named Sardula, quickly left in obedience to Ravana's command. Reaching the top of Suvala Mountain, they gazed around at the army of monkeys. The Rakshasas were beside themselves with fear as they scanned Ram's vast forces. As they moved toward the army, they were again discovered by Bibhishana, who was constantly on the lookout for Ravana's emissaries. The monkeys beat the demons severely and dragged them before Ram. But the compassionate prince again ordered their release. The spies returned hastily to Lanka. Panting and stupefied with terror, they fell before Ravana. The demon king said to Sardula, "You appear somewhat off color, O mighty Rakshasa. I trust you did not fall into the hands of the enraged enemies." Sardula replied in a faint voice, "O Lord, it is simply not possible to spy upon this army. They are guarded on all sides by monkeys like mountains and are headed by the invincible Ram. There is no possibility of even asking them a single question. I had hardly penetrated the army before I was arrested and brought before Ram. The monkeys paraded me around, having me march back and forth in various unusual gaits." "They attacked me with knees, fists, palms, and teeth, throwing me before Ram in a wretched state." Sardula described to Ravana the enormous bridge over the sea and how it was filled with monkeys and bears still pouring into Lanka. Like the other spies before him, the Rakshasa recommended that Ravana hand back Sita, but the demon king remained resolute. He would not give up Sita, even if threatened by all the worlds joined together. Ravana dismissed the spies and went into his rooms thinking of Sita. Perhaps there was now an opportunity to win her over. If he could somehow convince her that Ram was dead, she might succumb. It was worth a try. In any event, perhaps, just perhaps, he might end up losing her to Ram. Now might be his last chance to gain her favor. The demon decided to play a trick upon Sita. He summoned a Rakshasa named Vidyudvija, an expert magician, and ordered him to create a head that looked exactly like Ram's head and a bow resembling Ram's own. Saying, "So be it," Vidyudvija soon produced the head and bow and showed them to Ravana. The demon king was pleased and he handed the magician a priceless necklace of gems. Ravana then told Vidyudvija to accompany him to the Ashok Grove to see Sita. He found Sita lying beneath a tree, sighing repeatedly, still guarded by numerous Rakshasis. With Vidyudvija close behind him, Ravana went before her and began to speak. Your husband, on whose account you have rebuked me, now lies killed. O blessed lady, your roots are torn out of your, and your vanity is crushed. Of what use to you now is your dead spouse? Become mine today. I shall be a better protector to you than any other. Let me tell you how Ram and his armies were slain. Ravana fabricated a whole story about how the army of monkeys was annihilated by the Rakshasas. He told Sita that they had been wiped out during the night as they slept, exhausted from their journey across the sea. All of the principal monkeys, including even Hanuman, were now dead. Ram's head had been severed by the commander of the Rakshasas. Ravana had Vidyajiva show her the trick head. The magician placed the head on the ground in front of Sita. He handed the bow he had created to Ravana and then promptly vanished from the spot. Throwing down the bow next to the head, Ravana said, "Look now upon your husband. There is his famed bow, fetched here by Prahasta after he had disposed of that mortal being during the night." Sita looked at the head. It resembled Ram closely, with the same large eyes and the same splendid jewel in his hair. The princess burst into a wail and fell to the ground. She cried out, censuring Kaikeyi, "O cruel woman, now be satisfied with your work. See what you have done to the noble house of Raghu. How can I continue to live? Everything is finished. The death of a husband before his wife is declared to be a catastrophe." Sita lamented at length. How had this happened? The royal astrologers had predicted that Ram would live a long life and rule over the earth. "The time spirit is irresistible to all beings," she cried Sita. "O Ram, surely you are now reunited with your father. But what of me? Do you not recall the solemn vow you made at our wedding? You declared you would always protect me and take me to the next world with you. Have you now deserted me now? Have you deserted me now?" Maybe we move up by 7 or 8 inches. 8.2. The princess was torn apart. She thought of Kaushalya and Sumitra. They would both die immediately upon hearing the terrible news. Considering that she was the cause of Ram's death, Sita condemned herself. She said to Ravana, "Kill me at once, O demon. Lay my body on the top of Ram and unite a husband with his wife." While Sita was wailing in this way, a messenger came to Ravana. He called the demon aside and told him that he was needed urgently in the council chamber. Prahastra had arrived and was awaiting orders to commence the battle. Ravana turned away from Sita. There was no time to lose. Ram's formidable forces had to be checked at once. The demon immediately left the Ashok Grove and walked swiftly toward his chambers. As soon as he left, a Rakshasi named Sarama, the wife of Bibhishana, came toward Sita. Taking her away from the other Rakshasi guards, she reassured the distraught princess. "I heard what Ravana said to you, but you should not believe him. He is a great trickster and a liar. O gentle princess, be fully restored to confidence. Ram is not dead. Even now the demon king is making plans to defend the city from the monkey forces, headed by your inconquerable husband and his brother." Sarama spoke with affection to Sita. The Rakshasi was as pious as her husband, and she had often comforted the grieving princess. She assured Sita that Ram's so-called head was an illusion conjured up by Ravana and his henchmen. As Sarama and Sita spoke, they heard the crash of war drums, as well as the clamor of troops and the blare of countless trumpets. It was obvious that a battle was about to commence. Sarama had heard from her husband all about Ram. She said to Sita, "This mighty fight will result in the complete destruction of the demons. Ravana will undoubtedly be slain by Ram. No other outcome is possible. Dear Sita, I am certain you will soon be reunited with your husband." After gladdening Sita, Sarama asked if there was any service she could do for the princess. She offered to carry a message to Ram. "If you wish, I can go invisibly through the skies and reassure Ram of your safety," she suggested. But Sita instead asked to be informed of Ravana's plans. She wanted to know if Ravana had any intention of releasing her or even killing her before Ram came. If so, then perhaps a message should be taken to Ram. Sarama went unobserved into Ravana's chambers and listened to the discussions. After some hours, she returned again to Sita and informed her what was happening. Ravana has been exhorted by his own dear mother to return you to Ram, Sarama said. Along with one of his elderly and affectionate counselors, she tried at length to make him see sense. Other wise ministers have also put forward a case for your return. They warned Ravana that battle with Ram and the monkeys will have a disastrous result for the Rakshasas. But Ravana will no more let you go than a miser would leave his hold on treasure. He is not prepared to release you until he has laid down his life in combat, O godly one. Sita thanked Sarama for her kindness and friendship. Feeling reassured that her husband would soon arrive to rescue her, she sat beneath the Shimsap tree, absorbing herself in thoughts of Ram. Sitaram Hanuman Ki Jai Gopremanande.